All right, before we read the Word of God, let's come to Him in prayer, asking for His guidance in this. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we need You. You have provided everything we need. You have revealed Yourself to us in Your Word and in Your Son. We have Your Spirit. We have all of that. You have freely provided at great cost to Yourself to express Your love for us, Your creation, made in Your image. And yet, Lord, we do confess to You that we do not access Your provision in our lives. Far too often, we're busy thinking about other things, trying other things, going other places, and we forget about You. Lord, during this time of Lent, indeed, we call out to You, have mercy and guide us as we try to live this Christian life. In so many ways, it is a very simple life, and yet we find it to be quite complex as we interact with a world that does not know You. Teach us now the lesson we need to hear by the power of Your Spirit, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. After this, we're looking after David has lamented the death of Saul and Jonathan and Israel's defeat by the Philistines. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "To which shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David brought up his men who were with him, everyone with his household, and they lived in the towns of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When they told David it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul, David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed by the Lord because you showed this loyalty to Saul, your Lord, and buried him. Now may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you, and I will do good to you because you have done this thing. Now therefore, let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul your Lord is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and the Asherites, and Jezreel, and Ephraim, and Benjamin, and all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. I think we can see into David's mind well enough because we have similar feelings. He has been on the run for 3 years. Saul has been trying to take his life in a very active way. David has avoided him time after time after time. He will not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed, but he's trying to have peace. And surely he must be thinking, if only this one obstacle, Saul, will be removed, everything will be fine. I've been anointed by Samuel. I know I'm to be the king of Israel, but I'm not about to do in Saul myself. God must take care of that. And now it seems that by the hands of the Philistines, God has taken care of that, and Saul has been removed. So the obstacle is gone. David is ready to step into the kingship of all of Israel as Samuel had decreed. We think the same thing in our lives. We're up against a challenge and we realize, if I can just get this one problem solved, the rest is going to be smooth sailing. This is the big blockage that I have got, whether it's a personal thing or whether it's a physical thing. If I can just get by this one thing, all will be well. Smooth sailing, easy. And that's true at certain times. As we grow in our Christian life, as we mature in our own physical lives, we conquer different obstacles that come in our ways. We meet the challenges that come up against us, and we succeed over those. And we reach a new place in our lives that is stronger and more stable than before. It's wonderful. It does happen. But sometimes you and I fight and struggle and finally conquer and overcome an obstacle in our lives that has been there perhaps only a short time or maybe for a lifetime, only to find out a new one pops up. All of a sudden, I'm not at the top of the mountain. I know many of you love to walk around in these mountains of Western North Carolina, as I do. And one of the things I learned early on in hiking the Appalachian Trail was that as you're going along a trail and you're on a long, gradual ascent, as you look up, you can eventually see through the trees and see sky. And that lets you know, okay, we're getting close to the top. And as you get closer to the top of a mountain, invariably there is always a very steep ascent. The last 50 to 100 yards are just difficult. There's a lot of rock. It's not an easy trail. And you finally get to what you think is a pinnacle only to realize, oh my goodness, this is just a shoulder and that's the peak up there. There's more to go. That happens in our lives too, where we think if I can just get this done, all will be well. A new obstacle pops up and we have to say, now what? Come on, really? It happened to David, and we're going to see how he deals with that and how that applies in our lives. Certainly he would ask himself, David, will I ever be the king of all Israel? He's gotten to the point where the people of Judah, that one tribe, have declared him king, and he was ready to receive the other leaders of the tribes of all of Israel to have him as king. He'd been anointed. And lo and behold, it doesn't happen because Abner, military, part of the military-industrial complex, we would call it, takes it upon himself to inaugurate Ishbosheth as the king of Israel. Abner does not want to lose his power. He's a general of an army. He survived this battle with the Philistines. He still wants to be the one who is calling the shots in terms of the power of these people. And so he takes upon himself to put Ishbosheth in as king of all Israel. And apparently he's got an army that can make it happen. So all of a sudden, David finds that he is not king of all Israel. He is simply king of Judah. Saul chased him for 3 years. Saul dies. And now, instead of peace, there's going to be a civil war between Judah and Israel, between the followers of Abner and of Joab, David's general. In life, there'll always be some more obstacles. Maybe we'll get a respite for a while. Maybe we can have a calm period. We certainly hope so. But there will never be a time when we have no more obstacles. The last, of course, is death. And we know that that has been conquered, but it is still a difficult passage because we love life so much. David shows us the way. There are always more battles to be fought. And as we go through the rest of the life of David, we're not going to be doing it all this year, as I've told you. We'll be taking a break. But you can see in his life, it is major battle, time of peace. Major battle, time of peace. And these are not always military events. They're personal events. They're family events. And yet, he prevails. We know this feeling. The Christian life will always have ongoing struggles. There's a great danger for you and me that comes when we think that we have arrived. We have studied enough. We've experienced enough. We've seen enough. We've talked with enough people. We've listened to enough experts. We've got it. We've got this thing called life under control, an incredibly dangerous place for a Christian to be because we know that we will continue to be in need of Christ's sanctifying work in us until the day we meet him. Once we begin to think there's no more to be done in our lives, we are really mistaken. We are delusional. There's always another battle, an obstacle to overcome. And as I said to begin with, often we have those situations, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an interior attitude that we struggle and fight against and pray about and say, Lord God, please guide me in this. Please help me overcome this. And he does. And then there's something else. That is really what sanctification is all about. We know we've been justified in Christ. We are made clean by his blood before Almighty God. He does not see our sin. He sees the sacrifice Christ made on our behalf. And yet he knows as well as we know that we are in a process of sanctification. That's not a one-time event as justification is. But it goes on day after day, year after year, until the day we see Christ face to face, whether it's upon our death or whether he returns to this earth and we are still alive. That is the truth of being sanctified in Christ. And in God's word, we see, as we will see in David's life in the weeks ahead, it's good to celebrate the victories. It's good to step back and realize I've done it. I have conquered that particular item in my life. I have conquered that obstacle. I have reconciled that person. I have achieved that goal. Celebrate the victories, but never think that you've arrived and you have no more need of any challenge or any help from God to guide you on your way. For each of us here this morning, I think I can say this with great certainty. We are either in the midst of a struggle, of an obstacle that we do not like, that we fight against, or we are recovering from one. There is really no in between. And if we are recovering from one, that is great. Savor it and enjoy it. But if you find yourself still in an active fight, either spiritually or on a physical level, not with fisticuffs, but with emotions, with attitudes, with relationships with other people, don't be discouraged. Don't think that it's just you, that everybody else has it easy and you've always got this, what we call a cross to bear. Oh, it's not true. Every one of us here has lived long enough to know that with any individual, no matter how together they may look, if you just scratch a little bit, you'll find some heartache. You will find some difficulties. You will find some frustration because we are human. It's there. But don't be discouraged. Keep up the fight. We're going to look at several New Testament passages to confirm this to us. David will continue to be faithful to God even though he's not king of Israel. That plateau is yet to be climbed. But he is content with what God has given him with Judah, and he is patient as he waits upon the Lord. He continues to fight battles and then achieves the kingship. The first passage I want to go to, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just selected verses. There's verse 1, then verses 7 through 9, and then 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And then verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. A light momentary affliction. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? But we get on the other side and we look at what God has done for us, how God fought the fight for us, how God gave us the wisdom, the energy, the ability to work through the obstacle. We realize that it was indeed a light obstacle compared to life and death and what Christ has done on our behalf. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Keep up the fight. Attack the next obstacle with the power of Christ. The second thing really is from an Old Testament passage from the prophet Isaiah. This is chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And I dare say most of you have this memorized. It can't be heard enough. We've got to be willing to wait for the Lord to work the solution. We are so eager to jump in with our best plan. We're so eager to make our ideas come to fruition that we get ahead of where God is going. Or we do find at times we're actually working against what He wants because we have not waited upon Him, actively waited upon Him, not lazily, not disinterestedly, but actively saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's going to happen? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of God through his prophet Isaiah. Wait on the Lord. It's not all up to you and me to make this happen. We are to identify the problem. We are to engage it. But it is the Lord's power that gives us the victory. And we wait to see where he leads and then we follow his path. And sometimes it's very predictable. And at other times, it is a total surprise. That's because he's God. Don't be discouraged. Keep up the fight. Be willing to wait on the Lord. David waited another 2 years before he was king of all Israel. And never forget, as Christians, there is joy in the journey with Christ. It is not just slugging through the mud, plowing ahead through the briars, fighting our way through the underbrush. But as we walk with Christ, there is joy even in the midst of the battle. I say that and it brings to mind how in other ages of warfare, there were battle songs. As nations fought against nations and as the armies began to approach, they would come in singing. They would come in singing together as a unit in the joy of being that nation defending themselves against the aggressor. And so it is in the Christian army. We've got unseen foes primarily, though that does seem to be changing. But never lose that sense of joy that you're waiting on God. You know there's an obstacle. You want to overcome it, and you will in his time. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Christ gives the victory. And that's why we can have joy. Not because we struggle, not because it's hard, not because at times we fail. We can take comfort that even in our failures, God can work it for good as we turn our lives and hearts back to Him. That's Christian joy. It's not happiness, not by a long shot, but it is that deep, abiding knowledge that God is in control. And that however difficult the situation is, He is victorious, and we will be as we persevere in His strength and in His power. Don't be discouraged. Keep up the fight. Wait for the solution with God and have joy in the journey with Christ. This morning, God is calling you and me to draw closer to Him as the struggle intensifies. And it is intensifying, if you haven't noticed. Your levels of anxiety and my levels of anxiety are up this year. The world is an uncertain place, not only within our own country, but in the world as a whole. We do not know what the morrow brings. But our hope and our trust and our joy is in Christ. So we walk with Him, and we leave the rest in God's hands. We cannot predict the future, but we can trust the Lord for the present. We cannot change the past, but we trust the Lord for the healing and the resolution of that, because He is a mighty God. Our struggle in life is never going to be over. Though, as I said before, hopefully there will be those calm pools of water in a tumbling stream where we can catch our breath figuratively before we begin anew. But God is constantly calling you and me to draw closer to Him, not further away. The battle is not over yet, but God's grace and God's power are always sufficient. My grace is sufficient unto you. The words of Christ to Paul when he prayed for that infirmity, whatever it was, to be taken away. God didn't say He's taking it away or that He's going to leave it. He just says, my grace is sufficient. And so He says to each one of us this morning, whatever it is, He is more than sufficient. Wait upon Him. Don't give up. And keep the joy of Christ alive in your heart as you look to Him, not to yourself and not to the events around you. That is the way to live this life with Christ. I don't think it's because of recent world events, but I have to say that this is the first of the more militaristic hymns that came to my mind. It's not Onward, Christian Soldiers, but this one has all the right words and the right thoughts to what I'm trying to say today. The title is Soldiers of Christ Arise. And certainly you don't need to be told, we're not talking about physical battle here. We're talking about spiritual battles against forces of darkness and principalities and powers. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through His eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endued, and take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God, the whole armor of God, the whole warehouse of God's abilities. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, ye may o'ercome through Christ alone, and stand complete at last. The life of David, the life of us as Christians in the battle for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we want to do what's right. We want to be victorious. We'd love to think that we can just blaze through life victory to victory with no setbacks, no doubts, no frustrations, but we know that's a lie. It's not true. Our experience and your word tells us that's not so. But Lord, what your word does tell us is that we're not alone, that the fight is not just ours. The obstacle is there, and it can be dealt with in your power, in your time. Father, help us to be strong. Give us an inner strength that cannot be touched by outward circumstances. And we pray this day, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and Russia and around the world who are experiencing violence, physical violence, simply because they proclaim the name of Christ. Lord, have mercy and help us to be faithful in the daily living you give us to honor you. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.